actually going to take a break from the book of Luke. We'll jump right back in next week, as far as I know. But this morning, we're going to look at a few verses in Ephesians chapter 3. So go ahead and open your Bibles to Ephesians. But before we get into today's scripture, all right, I'm going to need everybody to kind of get a little creative. All right, get ready to think a little bit. I need you to use your imagination. Hopefully you have some coffee. All right, Julie doesn't look like she's had coffee yet. Get her some coffee. All right, so it shouldn't be too hard, though. I want you to imagine what you think is the perfect picture of a healthy tree. All right, pretty simple, right? We all know what a tree looks like. We know some attributes of a healthy tree. I want you to imagine a tree that is strong, okay? It's strong. A tree that is not harmed by strong winds or by harshest weather conditions. Maybe a heavy snow, it doesn't phase this tree, right? Or again, strong winds don't blow it over. Like it stands strong. All right, you guys starting to get something? Starting to kind of get a picture? All right, so you might be picturing a tall tree, right? If it's tall, it's probably, that means it's mature, it's an older tree. All right, so its roots are down deep into the ground. They're spread out, all right? That makes it immovable. That's how it's able to stand up to the tough weather. This tree that you're picturing, I know what I'm picturing is a tree with a huge trunk, right? Maybe the kind that if you had five people around it, they're all trying to hug it, like your fingers barely touch. That's how big around it is. And then also another thing that I picture is, you know, it's got some good, healthy bark, right? It holds firmly to the tree. You know, most trees have bark that doesn't easily flake off, right? And then also a healthy tree, it's going to have strong branches, right? And why do those branches need to be strong? It's because they're full of green leaves, right? Or maybe the tree you're picturing is full of some kind of fruit. Some delicious fruit, right? Maybe some apples. And those branches need to be strong to hold all that. And then, of course, this tree probably provides a lot of shade, right? A tree that's full of leaves, full of fruit, it's a shady tree, okay? So you guys with me? You got this picture now? You got it painted in your head? All right. So I'm not a tree expert, but I think that these are some accurate descriptions of a healthy tree. We all know at least this much, all right? So we got this good picture. You know, and as Christians, we all want to be healthy, right? We all want to kind of reflect, you know, that perfect tree as who we are in our faith, right? We want to be healthy. We all want to be mature in our faith so that when the storms of life come, we can remain strong, we can remain unshakable. That's what we want, right? We want to be so firm in our relationship with Jesus that whatever life and Satan throws at us, it causes us to draw closer to him instead of making it so we start doubting that he's even there at all. Because sometimes trials can do that. So we want to be firm so that that doesn't happen. And also, we all want to bear good fruit, right? Like the Bible talks about. We want to produce good works for God's glory. You know, just like our tree produces healthy green leaves and apples, we want Christ to be accurately displayed in our lives. That's good fruit, right? He wants us to do things that allows others to see Jesus in us, right? We want everything we do to be motivated by Christ who is living in us so that his character is pouring out of us, right? Would you all agree that that's what you want as a Christian? This is what we want. You know, and like our tree provides all that shade we were talking about, we want our lives to cover those around us with so much love that they can't help but long to discover why we love the way that we do. All right? We want them to find their relief in our love and discover that it's Christ's love living in us. All right? That's what we want our love to look like. We want our love to point people to Jesus. So these are the things we want, right? This is what we want our lives to look like as those who have given their lives to Jesus. We want this. We don't want this to just be some religion. We want this to be a new way of life. We want this to be, we want it to change everything we do, right? We want to be healthy and complete and lacking nothing in our faith. I want my life to look like that, right? And you all just said you do. So we're all in agreement on that. But how? How can we do this? What makes our life this way? All right, and so what we're going to do this morning is look at Ephesians chapter 3, and Paul is going to tell us this morning how to have our life look this way. All right, so beginning in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father." All right, so we're going to stop right there. This section we're reading today, it's a prayer. All right, it's a prayer that Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus, and he begins it by saying, "For this reason." Okay, up until this point in Ephesians, Paul has been talking about all that Christ has done for us. He's laid out the mystery of the gospel, as Paul refers to it. And this mystery is that God saved us by grace through his Son. Okay, that through faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross and through his resurrection, we were made right with God. So this is the mystery he's referring to. And then part of that mystery is that this news is for everybody who believes, everybody who has faith in it. You know, something that Paul really pushes in Ephesians is that this news is for Jew and Gentile. It's for Jews and everybody who's not a Jew, right? Paul is breaking down the barrier between Jew and Gentile, and he's sharing that in Christ, no matter what our background is, God unites us as one body, all right? So this is the mystery. This is what he was just talking about before where we're at right now. This is the reason why he's praying. And so the basis of Paul's prayer was his knowledge of God's purpose. Paul says in Ephesians 3, verse 7, it says, "Of this gospel I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his purpose." Yeah, so God made known this mystery to Paul, which means that Paul was confidently praying according to God's will. All right, this wasn't just some random prayer that Paul pulled out. This was from God's heart, which became Paul's heart, and that he's praying for these people. Okay, so Paul says, according to God's will, and according to God's word, in light of everything that he just said up until now in Ephesians, about everything about what Jesus did for us, he says, "In light of this, I bow my knees before the Father to pray." All right, because of all that, he's praying. And right there where it says, "I bow my knees," that's actually pretty cool, right? In Paul's day, people usually stood up with their hands raised while they were praying. We do that too. We do that while we're singing. It's not wrong. It's a good thing. But bowing down in prayer, when he's saying, "I bow my knees in prayer," that shows a deep emotion and love for who he's praying for. And even more than that, his bowing down in prayer shows a deep and sincere reverence to whom he's praying to, the Father. All right, so he's very passionate, and he's humbling himself as he prays this. Okay, it really means a lot to him. He's humbling himself. And beyond the act of physically bowing, Paul is showing the sincerity of his prayer, right? He's showing the position of his heart. And this is actually something that, you know, this humble position is something we should all take as we come before the Father in prayer. I'm not saying we always need to get on our knees. But what I'm saying is our hearts should be bowed in reverence before our loving God and creator as we seek him in prayer. This is something huge that we can learn from Paul right here. And so he's so passionate about this prayer, and God has put this on his heart. And so he bows his knees. Before we move on with this, though, I want to point out that, you know, there's a really specific reason that I'm preaching on this today. You know, today's scripture, it holds a special place in my heart. It's not just Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus, but this prayer in these verses is also actually a direct reflection of the heart that God gave Casey, my wife, and I for the youth ministry at the River several years ago. I think we, this verse inspired the name for our youth ministry, which is Roots. I think, I don't know, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, it's been a while. But, you know, this prayer is one that I often come to as I pray for our youth. You know, this is my heart for the youth, the prayer that we're about to see, okay? And, and just like Paul, I have to remind myself, all right, I got to humble myself because I'm not worthy, right? I'm not worthy to be leading these kids, but God uses me anyway. And he transforms me, makes me more like him every day. And so, but anyway, with this week and this morning being so focused on the children's ministry and the youth ministry, you know, I just felt like it was a really good day to look at this prayer. I've been really excited to look at this. But I don't want you to think, oh, well, this is just a prayer for the kids. No, this prayer is also one that I believe reflects the heart that our church leadership and that Jesus has for this church and the body of Christ as a whole. Because again, Paul is praying for believers according to God's will. That's what this prayer is. Okay? So it's for all of us. So I hope that we can all be deeply encouraged by it this morning. Again, I'm excited to look at this. So let's pick back up in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, and we'll go through verse 16. So Paul says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." So in verse 15, Paul is emphasizing our oneness as children of God, our Father, through Jesus Christ, right? He's saying, all of us were created by him and for him. He's saying we are all God's children created to be his family. All right? So that's kind of what he's saying there. And then he continues in verse 16 saying, "I pray that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man." Another version says that we would be strengthened in our inner being. If that helps you understand what he's saying. Paul prays that the church would be strengthened with power and that the strength would be according to the riches of God's glory. Okay, that he would pour out his limitless power and that he would do it generously. All right, this is a bold prayer, but this is what God wants to do, right? And Paul's prayer is that this strength would come through the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is the only true source of power. Right? And Paul prays that this power would be put into their inner man. He's praying for strength beyond the physical, right? We all know, you know, the value and importance of strength in our physical body. We often put a lot of focus on gaining physical strength and being healthy. I could probably do a little bit more of that in my life. But, you know, that's good. Physical strength and stuff is good. But the area that needs strengthening the most is our inner being. It's our inner man, right? Having strength in our hearts and in our soul, right, is the most crucial area of our being that needs to be strengthened. That's because, why is that? The enemy is constantly tempting us, right? He's constantly throwing stuff at us. He's constantly trying to destroy us. You know, if we're honest, though, we realize that we don't have the strength within ourselves to stand against evil and against the temptations of sin. So we need God's strength by his spirit and our inner being if we're going to stand before the power of the enemy. So Paul prays that we will be given inner strength from the Holy Spirit. And you know, this kind of reminded me this week. I can't tell you how many times I've done this multiple times where I've tried to use, you know, maybe a power tool or my guitar amp or even something as simple as a toaster, right? And it doesn't work. All right, and I start freaking out. I start pushing buttons. I try to reset it. I try to reset, you know, everything. It's just like, what's going on? I do everything, and then I realize, oh, it's not plugged in. You're like, oh, what an idiot, right? It's not plugged into the one source of power that will make it work, which is electricity, right? And it's like, how many of us have done that? We've all done that. Please say I'm not the only one. You know, good. You know, and it's like we've all done that, and we finally realize it's not connected to the power source, but it's always the last thing we check, right? It's like it's the simplest fix, but it's the last thing we check. You know, and in life, we often try to find inner strength through, hey, Gabe, what's up, buddy? that's my son, so he wants to hang out. Again, in life, right, we often try to find inner strength through things like self-help books or by, you know, talking to the experts or by taking pills or doing special meditations, right? You know, we often try to plug in to really the wrong power source, right? We're always looking for the next new thing that is going to solve our problems. Am I right? That's the culture we live in. We're always looking for the next thing. You know, but when what we really needed the whole time is the Holy Spirit, the one true power source. Okay, he's the last thing we go to, but that's the easiest thing to run to and the one thing we should run to first. All right, if we do that, if we run to him, God pours out his spirit freely to those who trust in him. It's like it's so easy if we'll just remember to do it. So Paul prays, Father, strengthen them by your Spirit, the true source of strength for all of life. That's his prayer. And then Paul prays for inner strength. So Paul prays for inner strength, and then verse 17 he says, so that, give them strength so that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. So the word dwell right here in verse 17, it means to live in. It's the idea of settling down in a place to make it your permanent home. All right, so you see Jesus, what we see from this is Jesus wants to make his home in your heart. He doesn't want to just visit, right? He's not just stopping by. He wants to live in your heart. And this is what Paul's praying for. You know, the reality that Jesus lives in us and that he wants to live in us, that's something for us to know. It's something for us to know by faith. It's something for us to experience. And so, but what Paul shows in this prayer is that we need spiritual strength in order to let Christ dwell within us, because there's something in us that's constantly resisting the influence of Jesus in us. Right? It's that struggle we still have with our flesh. We still struggle with this sin nature, but the struggle, it can be conquered as the Spirit of God gives us the power of faith. Okay, as we experience God through his Spirit, our faith is strengthened. Okay? And Paul prays this because Paul's human too, right? He, you know, God used him. God, you know, the Spirit was using him, but he's still human, right? He knows we need this. He knows that we need to experience Christ. Paul had times in his life, no matter how much God was using him, where it said that he despaired of life, right? And so he knew, okay, we need to be reminded of the Spirit often. We need to be reminded of what God's doing and who he is. You know, every so often, we need to be reminded of his presence in us. And what we learn from this prayer is that's something we can pray for. We can pray for that, just as Paul prays it for the church. And then again, what happens is God pours his presence out on us. He pours it in the ways he knows we need, right? It's not just like, God, I need you know, do this for me. No, he knows what we need. He'll do it in his way and in his time, but he's never going to let us down. He's going to pour his Spirit out. And that's what Paul is praying for. Hey, God, don't stop pouring your Spirit out. Remind them of who you are. Remind them of who they are in you, okay? So that's his prayer. Continuing verse 17 through 19, Paul says, he continues his prayer and he says, I pray that you, all right, you, the readers, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. All right, Paul's main reason in praying for the church to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit is that we may be able to comprehend the incomprehensible love of God that is displayed in Jesus. We can't actually understand that on our own, right? But as the Holy Spirit works in us and he helps us to understand this incomprehensible love of God, it makes our faith solid. Okay, this makes us like a deeply rooted tree, like the one we talked about when we started, or it makes us like a house that's settled on a firm foundation. It can't be shaken. It can't be moved. And so we cannot be fully mature in our faith until this love is planted and rooted into our hearts. We can't live as God intended us to until we truly know how much he loves us. Right? Again, this love that he displayed for us on the cross, right, when he died for us 2,000 years ago, that's the love that we need to understand. And we can't truly love others and display God's grace and mercy to others unless we allow God's Spirit to reveal his love to us. Again, this love that surpasses knowledge, right? It's incomprehensible. You know, Christianity, it's simply just another religion. It's just another set of rules and things to do unless we know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That's what makes it a relationship. That's what makes it living, right? That's what brings real hope to Christianity, is knowing the love of God and living out his love in our lives. And again, only his Spirit can reveal that to us. Only his Spirit can open our eyes to how much God loves us. So if we ask God to reveal his love to us, if we open our hearts, if we accept the gift of knowing God's love for us, he's going to give it to us freely and generously. And his love, it changes everything, right? Who can attest that You've opened your life up to God's love. It has changed everything for you, all right? And maybe you're in a place today and you're like, you know what? I'm not even sure God's loved me. God loves me anymore. He does. And all you got to do is say, God, I need to be refreshed with your love. I need to be reminded of that, and he'll do it because he loves you, okay? It doesn't matter where you're at this morning. You've never experienced God's love, or you have, and you've kind of drifted away. He's here to say, I love you this morning. He wants to pour that on you this morning. All right, so again, let his love fill your heart this morning, you know, because a real relationship with God, a life that is truly lived with him and for him, it begins with knowing how much he loves you. All right, don't do anything else until you have spent time with God the Father, just letting him pour his love out on you. That's where it starts. That's where this mission we have as Christian, it starts with his love. You know, as a youth pastor, right, we teach our youth, you know, we teach them about sin, you know, that we shouldn't sin. We teach them what sin is. We teach them the consequences of sin. We teach them what our purpose is as Christians, which is to spread the gospel, right? We've been teaching a Bible study to some of our kids on apologetics, which is knowing how to defend your faith. So we've been giving them this knowledge about God and his word. And we've even taught them how to love each other. All right, all this stuff is good. We do this, but none of it matters if they don't know that God loves them. Again, it's just another religion. If they haven't experienced God's love, nothing else I can teach them matters. And I can't teach them God's love. I can try to display that, but ultimately, they have to let the Holy Spirit come in and show them. Again, nothing I teach our youth matters if they don't truly know how much Jesus loves them. And so what we do is I often, and sometimes they're probably just like, oh, this again? But it's like I'm constantly encouraging them, seek God. Spend time in prayer. Open your Bible. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life. It's like, oh, we know this. It's like, do you? And this is for all of us, not just our youth. It's like, pray, read your Bible. Okay, if you don't do it, then it's doing nothing. Right, that's where the Holy Spirit works, is through us opening up our heart and just working on that relationship, right? Because everything else we need as Christians, it's built from a foundation of knowing God's love and experiencing it for ourselves. So we got to start there. We got to spend time in that relationship, experiencing God's love and just conversing with him, okay? And so that's why Paul prays, that's why I pray, that's why we pray that God will continue to reveal his love to us through the Holy Spirit. We need that to truly live the life he's called us to live. So, you know, a real relationship with God, get this, all right? A real relationship with God, a life built in him, it begins by knowing his love for us. And it continues by knowing his love for us, all right? We are driven by God's love. And so we need to constantly seek this real relationship, this living relationship through the Holy Spirit. All right, so we began this message by what? I told you to imagine this healthy and flourishing tree, right? You guys got that picture again? It's back in there? All right. But the thing we didn't talk about with it was how it got to be so healthy, all right? We didn't talk about, you know, where it was planted. We didn't talk about its beginning, right? It had to start somewhere. It didn't just start out being so big and healthy. And so very simply, a huge part of a tree being healthy is it has to be planted in good soil, right? Its foundation has to be healthy in order for it to grow and be healthy, right? So in order for us to be healthy in our faith, in order for us to be unshakable when temptations and trials come, in order for us to bear fruit and let Jesus shine through all that we do, our faith has to be built on the foundation of knowing God's love. All right? That's where it starts. Our roots, the roots of our life have to be planted deep into God's love. And that's where real life starts. And that's where it flourishes and continues and grows. And so Paul prayed that we might be able to understand together in community every dimension of the love of Jesus, all right? He prayed that we can understand the width and length and depth and height of God's love, okay? Because in that's where it all begins. He wants us to understand that God's love is wide enough to include every person who believes, right? He wanted us to understand that God's love is long enough that it lasts forever. It never ends. There's no one can stop the love of Christ. Paul wanted us to understand that God's love is deep enough to reach down and pull the worst sinner out of the deepest pit, right? We're probably all the worst sinner. That's the truth. But his love is deep enough to pull us out and to save us. And Paul also wanted us to understand that God's love is high enough to take us up to be with God someday. That is the length and depth and height and width and all that stuff of God's love. And Paul's like, they got to understand this. Paul wanted the church to know this and to know God's love by experience and not just in words. All right? And I do want to be clear about something, though. I keep talking about experience. What I'm not talking about and what Paul is not talking about is a life built upon feelings or emotions. Right? He's not saying, hey, let them feel good. Let them have a good cry. Right? That stuff happens. Right? That's a response to experiencing God, but that's not what he's talking about. Paul is praying for a continual relationship with a loving God who continues to pour out his love on us through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's talking about. Right? Again, it's not a feeling or an emotion. It's this thriving relationship. That's what he's praying for. So a life rooted in Jesus' love, his love that we can experience, is a life that cannot be shaken, but only there, only a life rooted in Jesus' love. We used to have, if you remember, about a year ago, we had a tree that was out front here. It was huge, right? It had been there since way before this was the River Church. I remember it looking fairly healthy. I don't know what other people's opinion of that was, but it looked pretty healthy. It looked like a good, strong tree. But about a year ago, it fell over, and it just barely missed our youth room, and it did wipe out our patio. But the nice thing is we have a really cool, new, nice patio. Thanks, Jim. But the reason that it fell over is that its roots were not firm and rooted deep into the ground anymore. Because several years ago now, there was the flood, right? The flood came through Lyons, and what happened is it softened the soil that was holding that tree. And so what happened is over time, that tree was so big and heavy that it was uprooted. That soil couldn't hold it anymore, and it fell over, right? Again, it made a big mess. We had a lot of people that came in and cleaned it up. That was awesome. But in the same way, right, when we are not firm, when we are not rooted in our knowledge of God's love and secure in our relationship with him, we often begin to sink our roots into other things than God. Okay? And then when we do that, when we start letting something else be what supports us or gives us power, when things in life get tough, we fall apart. Okay, sinking the roots of our life into anything else but God is just asking for our entire life to be uprooted just like that tree. Okay? And as we saw from the tree, it not only made a mess for itself, it made a mess for us, right? When we're uprooted, it doesn't just affect ourselves, it affects those around us. So we are headed for disaster when we remove ourselves from his love. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. I love this verse. I want to read it. It says, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence." This person it's talking about, they are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. That person is blessed and full of hope that remains along the stream. So we must remain rooted in him, right? Close to the water. We must remain connected to his power, or our life will be uprooted. All right? In Ephesians 3:19, we're getting close to the end here. Paul says, "I pray that you know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." Okay, Paul asked God to fill these Christians with all the fullness of God. He wanted Christians to be filled to their capacity with Jesus. Jesus is just overflowing out of everything we do. Paul's praying for a completeness in the life of a Christian, and he wants us to realize that Jesus is all we need. We're complete. If we have Jesus, that's all we need. That's what Paul's prayer is. And you know, again, going back to the beginning, we all agree that we like to be complete in our faith. Okay? That we like to be like a tree that is healthy and firmly rooted into the ground. We like to be immovable. Okay? And Paul's prayer, it revealed to us that this is done by what? Allowing the Holy Spirit to give us power, right? This power that strengthens our faith, helps us experience Jesus. Okay? And Paul revealed in his prayer that through God's Spirit alone, we are able to comprehend Christ's love in all of its dimensions. And in the understanding of God's love, we are filled with all the fullness of God and made complete in Him. That's what we just read there. And so as we understand His love and allow His Spirit to work in us, we have everything that we need. We are complete. And so my simple encouragement is continue seeking the Spirit's work in your life. Don't let that die out. Don't cut that off. And continue to let God's love fill you to all fullness of Christ. That's something we can't even wrap our heads around. But that's what He wants to do. And what happens when you allow that to happen? You're going to be healthy. You're going to be complete in Christ. You're going to have everything you need. All right? And so what I want to do is I want to conclude by Paul. Paul has two more verses here as he concludes his prayer in Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. And I think that this is probably the most exciting part of this prayer. All right? I think it's really cool. So Paul concludes in verses 20 through 21. He says, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." I want to read that first part again. "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think." All right, do you get what he's saying here? He's saying, as if being filled to all the fullness of Christ is not enough, Paul says, "Now we give glory and pray all this to the one who can do far more than everything we just prayed." Is that not crazy? We just have to be filled to the fullness of God, and Paul's like, "Well, God, you can even do more than that." And I can't even wrap my head around that, but it's awesome. Okay, Paul says that God is able to do far above all that we ask or think. You know, Paul and the other apostles, they obviously knew that Jesus could do great things and they had seen it. But Paul shows that God, he knew that God could still do even more than that, more than he could ever think of. Again, Paul had seen great things. That's nothing compared to what else God can do. You know, you can ask for every good and godly thing you've ever experienced. God can do above that. All right, no big deal. Right, you can think of the biggest sin that you think you've ever committed. God can overcome and forgive beyond that. Okay, He can purify your life more than you could ever imagine. God can change the worst of habits and even more. Right? Paul says, according to the power that works in us. All right, this isn't something that God's going to do when we get in heaven. God is able to do this in our life now. Okay, His power works in us right now. That's available to us this morning. And that's huge. You know, the things Paul prayed for in the previous verses that we just read, you know, he prayed for spiritual strength. He prayed that Jesus would dwell in us, that we would experience God's love and receive the fullness of God. This all belongs to us as children of God, right? He has the power also to do even more than this. You know, he's able to do even more than we can comprehend. So everything we talk about this morning, that's ours. God can do even more if we just let Him work in our lives. If we, you know, we simply have to have faith and trust Him. Hallelujah. So Paul's last statement, he says, "To Him be the glory to all generations forever." This is the only fitting response to this great God. Give Him glory. This God that we can't even fully comprehend. So what I want to do, I want to have the worship team come back up, all right? And we're going to go out giving Him glory this morning. But as they come up here, I want to close by simply, we're going to read today's passages in full, but I'm going to do it in the New Living Translation. I'm going to do it kind of in my own words, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray this verse over us, all right? And again, not that it's so powerful the way it's worded, you know, but it's God's will, and I believe it's for us, so I'm going to pray it over us. I hope that you can agree with me as I pray this over our kids and over our youth and over our church as a whole. All right, so let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I pray that from your glorious, unlimited resources, that you will empower us with inner strength through your Spirit. We know Christ will continue to make his home in our hearts as we continue to trust in you. We pray that our roots will grow down deeper and deeper into your love and keep us strong. And may we have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep your love is for us. May we experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, because then we know we will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from you. So God, now we give you all the glory. You are able, through your mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to you, Father, in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.